Well, good morning, Fairhaven. Great to see you. My name is David. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors on staff here. It's great to have you. If you're a guest, we're so honored that you would risk coming out and finding a community of faith, and we would love to be that one, but there are many good churches in our town here. But we just want to get you connected. That's really the important part. I want to welcome all of our campuses. Classics is joining us, and Springboro, and Northmont, and Beaver Creek, and all those that are online in the Dayton area and around the country, and even some around the world. We're glad to have you. Centerville, great to see you here today. Let me start off by asking you a question. See if you can figure out what it is, okay? Some people worry about it, all right? See if you can guess. Never seems to have enough of it. Are you starting to get it? You can turn to the person next to you if you want. You think of ways to get more of it in life. You dream about how you can spend it in life. And then here's one. You can't live without it. Anybody want to guess what it is? Yeah, there you go. Money. And all of a sudden, there's no air in the room. It's unbelievable. But we're so glad that you're here, though, because here at Fairhaven Church, we do want to tackle difficult subjects and important subjects, because what we know about this subject is that it can cause a lot of division in families, actually. It's the centerpiece of a lot of legal action, believe it or not, money is. It's one of the top causes that couples get divorced, believe it or not, money is. I mean, it's a stressful situation in homes today. Money is. There's so much to this. It brings more guilt and greed than pretty much anything at all in life. And so if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, I'm so glad you're here, because as a biblical community, let's see if we can figure out what the scriptures have to say to us as we're thinking through our own personal finances, whether you're single, married, kids, no kids, grandkids, kids, whatever that might mean. And so we are starting a series, and we're hoping to travel together over these next couple of weeks and really think through the biblical principles of how you and I ought to look at our money. It's amazing to think through the last number of years. And as I've said before, I kind of am tired of hearing of the word COVID, but it seems like in 2020, there was a reset for everything. And now we're, you know, 2-3 years later, and we're still thinking through resets in our life. And so this was planned months and months and months ago. And it's really interesting, the timing of this, as we're thinking through this, because it might be that some of us need to think about a reset in every area of our life related to money. And so that's why we're entering into the series. The series is entitled More Than Money. And I got some good news for you as we begin. We have contacted a best-selling author. And I don't know if you've heard of him or not, Bob Lotik. And Bob and his wife, Linda, are going to help us out. As a matter of fact, they're going to do a tailor-made Zoom small group, 6 weeks, only for Fairhaven Church. You're not going to, you know, come into something that is a class somewhere around the country or some pre-programmed thing. We've actually told them we're doing this series. We've been contacting them, and they have put a tailor-made small group together for us over the next 6 weeks. It's going to be a 6-week Zoom class, because we want all the campuses and even those of you that are online to join us. And so you can register and go on. It starts in a couple of weeks. It's a best-selling author of a book. I have the book here with me. Actually, I brought it. I've read the book twice in preparation for the series. It's called Simple Money, Rich Life. And Bob tells about his story with his wife, Linda, how they were broke. They were way in debt. They were way over their heads. And they began studying scripture and realized the biblical principles work. And for the last 15 years, they have been helping people, couples, families, high school, college students, work through the biblical principles of what that means in their life. And so get this book and sign up for the class. He is a certified educator. As I mentioned, the last 15 years, a podcast that he has as well called Seed Time. And so you can look that up as well. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have fun discussions. There's going to be real life stories. Like as I said, he's going to tell his story and other stories about their life. Practical, actual steps. I've read the book. It's very practical. Or it's really, really helpful. There's going to be life-changing revelations to help you thrive. Starts Tuesday, September the 12th, $97 per household. And if that's a big stretch for you, just let us know and we'll work something out, because we want you to be a part of this. This class, as I mentioned, is just designed for us here at Fairhaven Church. Now, you're probably thinking, you know, I'm doing okay with my finances. And you're probably thinking, well, I don't need to come to this. Well, this class is not only for those that are really in, you know, in underwater in their finances. This class is for those that want to tune up. This class is for couples who want to get on the same page. This class is for, you know, college students who want to get started in the right direction. And so it's really, really going to be a wide level. It could be hundreds and hundreds of people on the Zoom, but really it's about the couple, Bob and Linda, as they're going to do this for us. And so I hope you'll sign up. You can go on our app. You can go on our website. You can do it now if you want to and sign up for it. And we're going to start that September the 12th, Tuesday. And we're really, really excited that that will be a resource along with this series. Because here's what we're going to be saying throughout this entire series, and I hope you can think through this a little bit, that living an abundant life is way more than money. Anybody agree with that? It's way more than money. And that's exactly why the passage we're going to look at today starts off talking about relationships and investing in relationships, a father talking to a son, and then gets to his personal finances and said, let me give you some principles around how you should be thinking about your personal finances. And we'll look at that in just a second. So I'm really excited about the series. But as we start out, some of you may be new to Fairhaven Church. You might have been newer to Fairhaven Church. You may have been around for a little while. Let me set some ground rules for us, because the subject of money can be a difficult subject, and you might have a certain feeling or emotion around it. And so what I'd like to do is just set some ground rules for us, and then I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles, and we're going to dive in and take a look what Scripture has to say for us. But here's some ground rules for us. Ground rule number one, we are not manipulating God into making us rich during this series. If you're relatively new to Fairhaven, you just need to know that's just not the kind of church we are. I mean, we're not going to try to tell you to do, you know, four steps and you're going to be rich. That's not the idea. The idea is for you to look at how God wants you to manage your personal finances and what does that look like. So we're not going to manipulate God. First, frankly, we can't. Anybody agree with me on that one? But that's ground rule number one. Ground rule number two, we are not guilting ourselves into giving. So this whole series is not about, we'll talk about giving, but this whole series is not about guilting you into giving more, doing more. Fairhaven Church, you just need to know you're one of the most generous churches I know, and we want to make sure that we continue in that, but that's not what this is about. We're not trying to guilt you into that. Conviction may come, I don't know, but we're not guilting you. That's ground rule number two. Number three, ground rule, we want balance. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. We want freedom. We want enjoyment. That's really important when it comes to your personal finances. And when we get and talk about them in the context of the biblical principles, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to want to understand what God has to say about it. You might already know that, but it's a good refresher for those of you that have been around for a little while. And then here's a last ground rule, and that's this. We want to thrive financially. Actually, God wants us to thrive financially. When we understand the power of it, and when we make sure that it doesn't have the power that it shouldn't have in our lives, that is freeing. And so that's exactly what we hope to do during this series. So, all right, grab your Bibles and your devices, wherever you're at, any campus you're at. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs is in the Old Testament. In fact, if you take a Bible, if you have a paper version, and you open it right to the middle, you're probably somewhere near Proverbs 27. A device is really easy to find. Proverbs chapter 27. As I mentioned, this is a father talking to a son. This is Solomon talking to his son or sons. And we know that because of verse 11. You can look at verse 11, Proverbs 27, and he says, my son, he's talking to his son. He's giving his son some instruction as a father should. If you're a dad here, these things that we're going to be talking about, I really encourage you to talk about them with your kids. We're going to be doing that with the kids that we have at Fairhaven Church throughout this whole series. And so he's talking to his son. He starts off in the beginning talking about relationships, as I mentioned. That's why we see in verse 6, he says to his son, you know, wounds, when they come from a good friend, pay attention to them. In other words, they're doing that because they want to be honest with you and they love you. So wounds from a friend are a good thing, actually. So just absorb it and the people that you love. And so he talks about relationships. And then he jumps down to verse 17 and he says a verse that many of you men have heard if you've gone to a men's conference. And it goes something like this. Iron sharpens. Come on, help me out here, guys. Iron. In fact, I had a guy between the services telling me, and that's why I don't hang out with butter knives. Pretty good. And so in verse 17, he says that men, we ought to sharpen each other. And I would encourage you, if you're a man, take the lead in this. Make sure that you pull together your spouse if you're married, your single friends if you're single, and talk through this, because this is really, really important. Let me read it for you, and then I'll give you the big picture, and then we're going to see if we can unpack this and see the principles that this father gives to his son. Really good stuff. Here it is. Proverbs chapter 27. He starts with relationships and gets to finance. Verse 23. Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever. And does a crown endure to all generations? When the grass is gone and the new growth appears and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. There will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and maintenance for your girls. And you can, if you want to, write there, and boys. I'm not sure why girls are mentioned there. I've got four sons. They're pretty expensive, and so I guess girls are more expensive. I don't know. You tell me if you've got girls, right? Here it is, for your family. And so right away, we see the principle, the bottom line of what this father is telling his son. And I think it's pretty good. It's good for me. It's good for you, probably. And that's this. Inattention, when it comes to your personal finances, inattention leads to destruction. Because you know what I know, and that is when we talk about our finances, sometimes we make bad decisions. I get that. But the truth of the matter is, over time, we may just drift. We may just be paying for things that we don't even know we're paying for, or that we've made a decision that we just keep paying for it until we got to pay attention. And so Solomon is telling his son, look, inattention when it comes to your personal finances will lead to destruction. In other words, pay attention. And so as we begin this series, I want to challenge you by starting off by saying, what would it be like if the next couple of weeks we began to give attention to where our personal finances are? And are they honoring God in the way that the Bible speaks about? I'll tell you what that is today. There's five things that we should know about from the Bible in terms of biblical management when it comes to our personal finances. And so what I want to do with you is unpack these verses, because at first glance, it doesn't look like he's talking at all about money. Until you really understand the culture and you understand, thousands and thousands of years ago, the conversation that they would have had like we're having today. And so I want to unpack that with you. Inattention leads to destruction. Before I get into the specific principles, I think it's really important for us to understand the premise. See, the premise is this. That if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are in a relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus has done on the cross and because of the fact that he walked away from a tomb. And he gave us freedom to enter into a relationship free from the sin in our life, the penalty of that in our life, and that we will live with him forever. Amen. Therefore, we are in a surrendered relationship. Does that make sense, church? And when you're in a surrendered relationship, here's how that impacts our finances. It means that we are no longer the owner, and that's a good thing. Because you see, if you're an owner, you can do whatever you want. You can get as careless as you want. You can badger others with your money. You can try to do things as an owner. Not that you should, and not that you do. But when you're a manager or when you're a steward, there's a lot more at stake, because you're doing things in order to please the one that you've surrendered your life to. And so it only makes sense for us to look at the biblical principles of finances, because if we're surrendered to God, then that means that he's the owner, and aren't you glad he is? And we are the managers, we are the stewards, if you will, of all that we have. And he gives us principles that will help us in that process so that you and I don't get sideways and we don't drift and we don't do things that lead us into destruction, because inattention leads to destruction. So let's take a look. The verse principle is found in verse 23. Here it is. Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention. There it is. You might want to underline those words. Give attention to your herds. Now, let's make sure we're clear here. When it says there that we're supposed to give attention, because inattention leads to destruction, you might be thinking to yourself, well, I know where my money is going. Well, that's not the question. The question is not, do you know where your money is going? The question is, do you like where your money is going? And does that honor the God that you are serving and surrendered to? That's the question. And so giving attention is not just about that you know where your money is. Giving attention means, do you like where you're spending your money? Do you like the areas in which you are using your personal finances? Because our personal finances needs to please God. It needs to accomplish our goals and purposes, and it needs to value the priorities that we have in our life. Would you agree with that, church? And so it's so important to understand when we talk about giving attention. See, this is something, by the way, giving attention is something that you and I should do regularly. We probably should talk about money more because it's something that we need to do on a regular basis to give attention to our personal finances. Here's why. Let me give you a couple of reasons why. Number one is because financial challenges calls for it. You have a job change. Things, you know, don't go the way you want them to. The stock market dips and differs. And so financial challenges calls for the fact that you and I should give attention to our personal finances. That's exactly what Solomon is telling his son here. Inflation calls for it. I don't know if we're really in inflation or not, but there's a lot of people that say, yeah, it's really bad. Some people say it's not so bad. And the truth of the matter is, anytime there's conversations about it, it's probably a good time. And so there's probably no better time when there's financial challenges and inflation. Priorities call for it because your priorities in your life, according to where God is leading you and your family, whether you're single family, married family, kids, or whatever, your priorities call for it. And here's the last one. New seasons of life calls for it. How many of you know that the only constant in life is change? And so we go through change, and your life will change, and your seasons of life will change. We're in a new season of life. We have two grandsons. One just came about, you know, a couple of months ago, and we're really excited about that. And so, well, I want to give attention to this because with two grandsons, I mean, we're spending our money in a way that we need to think that through, you know? Or maybe I should rephrase this. My wife is spending the money. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I love it. Love it, sending gifts to our grandkids. And so a new season of life calls for that in our life. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. Let's look at it again. Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. Now, to many of us, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, what does that mean and have anything to do with money? Well, it might be helpful if we went back and did a little history of money. Because it's pretty fascinating, and this verse will come off the page when you begin to look at it. Let me give you a brief history of money. Money goes all the way back to the very beginning of humanity. Money started with a barter system. Because your time is valuable, your talents are valuable, and so I would do something for you, and in return, you would do something for me. The skill that I had, I gave to you, and the skill that you had, you gave to me, and they were valuable, and we bartered, we changed, and we exchanged, and so money goes all the way back to the beginning of humanity. The bartering system was the beginning of that. Well, fast forward several years, maybe 1,000 years or so, and you had cattle, which is where Proverbs chapter 27 comes in. Cattle was used as money, and that's why Solomon says to his son, count your herds. Pay attention to them because they're valuable. They're necessary to help you in your fields. They're necessary to take care of your family. It was valuable. It was currency, actually. Cattle, 4,000 BC was cattle. And then you can fast forward to 1200 BC and cowrie shells. Did you know that shells were used as money? I even know that because of my experience in Indonesia. I brought with me something that was given to me when I was 13 years of age. We were in Indonesia as a kid. I grew up there. Many of you know that. And while I was in Indonesia, my father and I went to a very remote village as we wanted to share the message of Jesus with them. So I went with my dad, and we went deep into this little village, I still remember, and we took a sheet and hung it up between two trees, and we showed them the Jesus film. And as we showed them the Jesus film, of course, if you don't know, and those of you that do know, it's about Jesus, and it's about his life, and then about his death and resurrection. And it's interesting showing them this movie for the first time. They hadn't seen it. And when Jesus was, you know, being crucified, I still remember the Indonesians in that village, they got up, and they rushed, and they tore the sheet down, and they said, that is not fair. That's an unjust murder. And it is. Because he was unjustly killed for our sake, and he did it willingly. So So we had to change the way we did that. But I remember after being there, they gave us a gift, and my father gave it to me, and it's a gift of cowrie shells on a belt. And this was very valuable, and here's why, because it was taller than 6 feet. As a matter of fact, it's probably 8 or 9 feet tall if you look at it. There are cowrie shells on it, and those cowrie shells were currency. That's how you paid for things in this little tiny village. They didn't have money like you and I today. They didn't have dollar bills or coins. They had cowrie shells. And so I still remember my dad giving it to me, and he said, David, this is very valuable. And I asked him, well, how valuable is it? And he said, well, the Indonesians told me that you can buy either 2 cows or 1 wife. At 13, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do at that point. I don't know how much it's worth today, but there it is. That's currency, and that goes all the way back to 1200 BC. And for years and years, decades, centuries actually, because this was in the 70s, early 70s, that I got this gift, and I still have it today to remind me of relationships and, you know, stories and different things that took place, and cowrie shells was there. And then we went to metals and coins in 1000 BC, and then we went to modern coinage where there were pictures of people that were on the coin and so forth in 500 BC. And then they got really fancy and took leather, and they would imprint things on leather. They would cut it and imprint things and imprint numbers, and that became currency. And so leather became money in 18 BC. And then there was paper currency that started in the 800s, 806 or so about there. And then wampum, I don't know if you know what wampum is. It's shells, not cowrie shells, but whiter clam shells that were woven together in a circle. And it was like a big coin, only it was shells. And you gave that as currency. And the people used that as currency. And then anybody know when the U.S. dollar came into being? You have it right there, 1792. And so doubtful anybody was there. And so all we've known is the dollar. And so when we read scripture like Proverbs 27, it doesn't make as much sense to us, because it would have been better if Solomon said, son, count your dollars. But he doesn't say that. He said, look at your flocks. Because that was currency back then. Well, just for fun, the gold standard happened in 1816, and then the international monetary regulation in 1930, where they tried to regulate money so that across the globe we could kind of have some reference point of what it was worth and the value of that. And then beautifully, credit cards came into being in 1950, and some of us probably remember when that happened. And then now, in 2009, digital currency came in, bitcoins and other things came in. What's going to happen next? And the point is, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you and I, we give attention to our personal finances. And that's exactly what's going on here in this. And so as we look at this, here's the principle that I want you to see as we begin to think through what this is, that attention to personal finances results in God's graces. Help me with that on the screen. Would you do that? Go back if you would to that. Principle number one, as we think of good stewardship, it's attention to personal finances, which results in God's graces. In other words, God wants to work in your life, and he's the owner, and therefore he wants to work and do the right things in your life, and he wants us to give attention, because when we give attention, things begin to happen in our lives, and it's really, really important as we think through this. Well, then it goes on. Solomon goes on as he's talking to his son. And so he says this, if you're going to give attention, that means that we pay attention to the fact that it all belongs to God. Paying attention means that we honor God. Paying attention means that we take our finances and we put purpose to them or meaning to them. Paying attention means, catch this, that we dethrone money in our lives. What great advice for a father to tell a son. Pay attention. Let's dethrone the power of money in our lives. Let's make sure that money is not on the throne of our lives. Let's dethrone that during this series. That would be a great thing, a great result in our life as we go through this series. Verse 24, Solomon goes on and he says this, for riches do not last forever, and does a crown endure to all generations? Solomon gets really honest with his son. And he says this, principle number two, he says this, that disaster can happen. Or let me say it a little more positively. changes can happen. And so we have to be sensible. We have to be sensible with our personal finances. It starts by giving attention, but we have to be careful. We have to make sure that we're prepared and ready. We have to think through this. Disaster can happen, and we must be sensible about this. See, there's a rhetorical question that we see there in verse 24, and it says this: does a crown endure to all generations? The rhetorical question has an implied answer, and the answer is no. And here's why. Because human kingdoms come and go, but the kingdom of God will never disappear. So if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, you're part of the kingdom of God, which is different than any human kingdom. Solomon is relating to the fact to his son that there are human kingdoms that rise and fall, and there'll be wars and coups and all kinds of things, but the kingdom of God will last forever. You see, that's why 1 Corinthians tells us that death is nothing but a moment, because we're going to live forever and we're going to be part of the kingdom of God. And so the biblical principles for us is that we need to give attention now, because disaster can happen, and we must be sensible about the things. As a matter of fact, Solomon tells his son in Proverbs chapter 23, a few chapters to the left in your Bibles, this is what he says to his son: do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. What he's saying here is this: if you make wealth the priority or the focus of your life, you're going to be disappointed. He's saying, if that's the focus of your life, son, here's what you need to do. You need to pull out. You need to desist. But if your whole life is pointing to just wealth, if all you're doing is trying to accumulate wealth and your whole focus in life is wealth, you're going to be sorely disappointed, and you're going to have disaster in your life and emotions and relationships. And so he says, pull out. When your eyes light on it — we all know what it is — when your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings and flies like an eagle toward heaven. In other words, money can seemingly just disappear, and we're not even sure where it goes. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you have ever looked at your bank account and gone, huh, wonder why we spent that? Or looked at that and go, man, when did I sign up for that? And it's been going on for, 13 months or something. It's incredible. It happens. And so this is really, really good advice for us. Paul, the Apostle Paul, picks up on this very principle and tells this young pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy, he says this to 1 Timothy: as for the rich — that's all of us — if you make more than $1 a day, you're in that category, according to the world. So as for the rich in this present age, charge him not to be haughty. I read that as I was preparing for this weeks and weeks ago, and I've been reading it and thinking about it, and it dawned on me. Pride seems to come natural for us, doesn't it? I know it does for me. It probably is for you as well. And so what Solomon is telling his son is, here's the problem. Wealth can add to that pride. It changes your attitudes as you look at other people. It changes your attitude of those that have less. It changes your attitude to those that have more. And so I think Paul is right as he's talking to Timothy and trying to help him. So he says, be careful of haughty. Don't set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who is richly provides for us with everything to enjoy. I'm here to tell you, church, today, it's not a byline. It's not some, cliche in church. God will provide. And that's where we place our hope. And as we talk about finding hope, I hope you know that in your personal finances, God will provide. Again, that's not just a catchy cliche. That's an important, significant principle if you're a follower of Jesus. God will provide. And so Solomon says to his son, be careful, because, as you're thinking through your life, be careful, because disaster can happen. And so be sensible. And then he goes on, verse 25. Take a look at it. Verse 25, he says, when the grass is gone and the new growth appears and the vegetation on the mountain is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. I want you to notice something here. He's saying to his son, if you want good grass on your mountains, you're going to have to work for it. Now, grass sometimes grows naturally in wild grass, but if you want good grass for your crop, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to work at it. And then he says, the vegetation on the mountains. If you want good vegetation, if you want to have a, you know, good vegetables, you got to work at it. Am I right? You got to put it together. You got to garden. You got to put some effort into it. And if you want your lambs to provide clothing because of the wool that's there, you better make sure they're healthy and you got to take care of them. There's energy that's there. And the goats, the price of a field. Your goats are valuable. It's currency. And so you better take care of your goats as well. And so Solomon is leading to a third principle for us here in good stewardship, and that's this. As he talks to us, he says, God will fight our financial battles. For some here today, that's all you need to hear. God is going to fight for your financial battles. You know why? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, he's the owner. And you are his son or you are his daughter, and he will fight your financial battles. However, don't miss the second part. But we must do our part. We must give attention. We must constantly and regularly look at it and say, is my finances, personal finances, is it doing what I want it to do? And is it honoring God? And is it pleasing to him? We have to do our part. You have to show up. Am I right, church? So these next few weeks is a good thing for us to give attention to our finances. It might be helpful right here if you understood, if I understood, the five aspects of biblical management. Let me give it to you. If you read the scriptures from cover to cover, the Bible's pretty clear that you and I, when it comes to our finances, if you're a follower of Jesus, in your finances, there are five things that you ought to be doing with your finances. Not three, not two of them, all five. And so they're not in any particular order, but let me start with the first one, because it's the one that seems to be the hardest for us in our lives. Here it is, the five aspects of biblical stewardship. Number one, that we honor God. You see, when you and I honor God and we give back to God, you know what that does? It dethrones money off of our heart. It's so powerful. And you can see there's all kinds of verses. You can read them for yourself. We need to honor God. And so maybe you need to take an inventory and ask yourself, am I giving attention to this in my life? That's just one of the five. Here's the second one. The second aspect is we need to take care of your responsibilities. That you and I need to make sure that we live within our means. That's not new. You've heard that before. And perhaps we need to give attention to that in a new way so that we actually are living below the 100% line in our life in terms of our income and expenses and so forth. And there's all kinds of verses that are there about that too. That's number two. Number three, that we need to save for the future. That we ought to be responsible and sensible because disaster might come in or changes might take place, a job or a move or something will happen with health or whatever it might be, that we save for the future. And that's a proper thing to do. And there's all kinds of verses in scripture that will help us in understanding that as well, as you can see here. That's number three. Then number four is to be generous toward others around, which is different than this. See, this is when we honor God and we say, God, I want you to know, I want to make a statement to you that you're the owner. But then the those around us, we get to be generous to help out our neighbors, to help out friends, help out family members, to help out, you know, those that sit next to you in one of the campuses or online, whatever it might be, to be generous towards others is something that the scriptures is very clear that we ought to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us that we ought to be a cheerful giver. And it's really important to do that. Number five is that we ought to enjoy what God has given us. See, the problem about talking about money in the church is that the assumption is you shouldn't enjoy it. Well, that's false. God has given it to you. He's the owner. The problem is if you enjoy it and you don't do these here, then you got a problem. Then we got a problem. And so these five are here. Put them in any order. As a matter of fact, here's the challenge to you. Where in this order here do you need to give attention to? Because giving attention, inattention, leads to destruction. And so look at these five. Take a screenshot of that if you want, or download the notes and take a look at that. Talk about that with your family, with your spouse, with your single friends, and a college students perhaps. Get started now, college students, and you'll be so much further than many of us. This is so important for us. I wish somebody would have taught me this when I was in college. And so it's so important that we think through these five aspects of biblical our biblical management as we're thinking through it. And then Solomon goes on, verse 26. The lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. There will be enough goat milk for your food, the food for your household, and maintenance for your girls. And he gives one more principle that really sort of ends the conversation that Solomon has. And here it is, if you want to jot it down. The fourth principle to good stewardship, and that's this, that when we steward, or when we manage our personal finances, it provides peace of mind. Anybody interested in peace of mind? Financial peace of mind, spiritual peace of mind, emotional peace of mind. With the world all around us crazed when it comes to money. I mean, the big word is more. And so what would it be like if you and I gave attention to our finances and accomplished the five biblical management pieces that we need to, and we found peace of mind? You know what's really interesting? As I got thinking through this in preparation, I came to this conclusion. As a follower of Jesus, it is possible to have grace in our lives and greed in our finances. It is possible that you can be a follower of Jesus and you can be involved in a lot of great things, and yet part of our hearts are caught up with greed when it comes to finances. And I think God wants to do both in our lives. He wants us to be free in our finances, and he wants us to be experiencing his grace. You know, what's interesting is if you look at the New Testament and you see what Jesus says in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the Gospels. And if you read everything that Jesus says, you'll discover that 11 out of 39 of the parables or stories that Jesus tells is about money. The problem, though, is that that's a false picture if you just look at it this way. Because you see, the truth of the matter is that Jesus was not focused on money. Money was not the focus of Jesus' ministry. You can read all those parables and you can see it, and it's true, they talk about money. But money was not the focus. Let me tell you what the focus is. This is really, really, this could change your life. The focus was the kingdom of God. And here's why. Because the kingdom of God is diametrically different than all other kingdoms. And so as Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, he brings up the subject of finances, not because he wants to focus on money, but because he wants to focus on the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, we do things differently with our personal finances. We live our personal finances differently than the world around. Does anybody agree with that? We see it all around us. But we go on here. What's really important is for us to understand that the kingdom of God plays by different rules. And because it plays by different rules, you and I can understand that our relationship to money, watch this, points toward a particular kingdom. The way you live out and the way I live out my personal finances points to a kingdom. So here's the question. The question is, which kingdom does your personal finance point to? That's a great question. That should lead us to thinking through and giving attention to our finances. And here's why. Because inattention leads to destruction. Inattention will lead to destruction. So, church, I end with this question. What aspect of your finance needs your attention? I want you to just bow with me for a second as we close the service. We're going to worship in a second. But I want to ask you, what area of your finances needs attention? In fact, it might even be good as we close in prayer. I'm going to pray for you and pray over us as we start this series. You might even want to quietly articulate to God, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. He's the owner. We're the stewards. Father, I pray that you'd be with us as we look through Scripture and we gain principles and understanding, and we gain foundational spiritual lessons that will help us. I pray, Father, that you would guide us and lead us. I pray that you would bring forth conversations that would help us, because I know all of this was honoring to you. It pleases you. Lord, we want to dethrone money in our lives. We hear so much about it on the news. We read it online. And Lord, we want to find peace. We want to have peace of mind as we live out our finances, knowing, Lord, that you will fight our financial battles, knowing that you will provide for us. You take care of us, but you ask us to participate. May we show up over these next couple of weeks to think through and to give attention. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.